blessed to have Brother Omar with us preaching. He's a great preacher, and I don't think hear him enough on Sunday morning. And so he's going to be preaching for us a special message on Mother's Day. And if you know his story, his life, his mom passed away earlier this year. And so he's going to be preaching a message about moms on Mother's Day after just losing his mom. And so we're excited to have that here for us this morning. And we have a brief video he'd like to show you, and then he'll come up and he'll preach for us. So we'll go ahead and show that now, and then he'll come preach.
Auntie, I'm going to sit next to you.
I like that quote at the end. Read it to you again, and I'll turn off the TV here 1 second. Abraham Lincoln, I've been reading about him a little bit. He said an interesting quote, "No man is poor that has had a godly mother." No man is poor that has had a godly mother. And he added, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have clung to me my whole life." I talk to young adults all the time, teenagers mainly, and then I was actually at Costco the other day, and I saw one of the guys pushing the carts, talking about Mother's Day, and he brought it up. He said, "You know, I should be in church." And I said, "Well, why don't you come? I know I got to get my family on board. I'm not doing what my mama knows I should be doing." And I said, "Where's your mama at?" "Oh, she lives all the way in the south, and I'm all the way in Kauai, you know, 4,000 miles away. But you know what I remember?" He told me, "You know what I remember about my mom? It's her prayers." He's like, "I know my mom's praying for me." And so he said, "You bringing it up made me think of my mom." He says, "I'm going to come. I don't know when he's going to come, but, you know, he's not here today. But I'm praying that he does come. And you know what? I want him to call his mama when he does." I think, Damon, you didn't know I was going to think. I thought of you, too, and how you got baptized. And the first thing you want to do is take a photo and send it to who? Mom. Wasn't that a blessing? I had the privilege, Damon, to baptize my mom. Right here at Kalapaki. And I told her I wasn't going to cry, but here I go. So there's one down, Harold, all right? I did tell him I'd be done at 11:30, so hey, don't make any lunch plans before noon, I should say. I told Pastor, "You only give me up a couple times a year, so I got to get all of it in these two messages." You know, I also admire a man named Ben Carson. He's the famed brain surgeon, Johns Hopkins, and he said something about Lincoln, so I caught it. Lincoln once said, he's quoting Lincoln, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother." And he says, that's what Lincoln said. He said, "I'm not sure I want to say it quite like that," Carson goes on, "but my mother, Sonia Carson, was the earliest, strongest, and most impacting force in my life. It would be impossible to tell about my accomplishments without starting with my mother's influence." This morning, I struggled coming up with the right message. I knew I was going to be preaching. I called Pastor. I said, "Pastor, I never want to tell you or ask you to allow me to preach, but I feel like God's working in my heart for Mother's Day. And would you give me an opportunity to preach?" And he said, "Of course, you know, he's very gracious. And I know this is his pulpit. God's called him to be the pastor of this church." And so I thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come up and speak this morning. I struggled, though, with the exact message. I didn't have the message. I just knew God wanted me to preach this morning. And at first, I told my wife, I really like the story of Eunice and Lois and Timothy. That's where I was going to go. How I like Lois because I can relate to her situation, Timothy's situation. We don't know where the Greek father's at. This is modern-day Turkey. And yet, she decides to raise Timothy in the faith. She's teaching him the Old Testament scriptures. And then when they hear Paul come and he hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, that whole family gets saved. And then he comes back a few years later on another missions trip, and now he's a mature man, and we need a pastor at Ephesus. Who we're going to call? Let's go get Timothy. And Timothy, he noticed, you know what it is? It's not you, but there's a gift in you. And you know where that gift came from? Really, I believe it's the teaching, the discipling by a godly mother. And so that's where I thought I was going to go. I can relate to that story. We don't know where the father was. I didn't grow up with a father in the home. I thought that's where I'm going to go. But then I began to relate. I thought about some of the parents in our church, some of the situations in our church family. I thought, "God, I don't feel peace about that message. So, God, where would you have me to go?" He brought my attention to a lady named Jochebed. Remember, Harold taught on Exodus. I love that joke. He said, "Jocka who? Jochebed." All right, Jochebed. And you may not, who is Jochebed? All right, let's go and open our Bibles, Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Do you want to make the note that I got up to preach at 10:45, Harold, okay? So if you're thinking we're supposed to be done at 11 o'clock, I want you to know I got up at 10:45. Let the record stand, okay? All right, Exodus 1:8. 1:8, we're going to look at this. Or I'm sorry, Exodus 1 Exodus 1:8. "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set them over taskmasters," verse 11 here, "to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor." And jump down to verse 22. Jump down to verse 22. "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." What an evil law. What a wicked law. Exodus chapter 2, let's look at verse 1. Exodus chapter 2, look at verse 1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to the wife a daughter of Levi." Later on, if you read Exodus, you'll learn that's Jochebed right there. Verse 2. "And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." My wife and I, when we found out we were expecting our first child, we were pretty nervous. We had just moved to the island in 2011, and literally we got here in September. By November, we found out we were expecting Violet, and I still remember looking at that little device and the two lines, and I'm like, oh my goodness, we're in for the ride of our lives right here. 9 months from now, a baby is coming. And it was a shock to me. I wonder if you can put yourself in Jochebed's shoes, and Amram is the husband's name, Moses' father. They know the law. and they conceive. It's a little heart-wrenching. You got a 1 in 2 chance that this baby's going to be murdered upon birth. That's not a happy pregnancy. That's a stressful pregnancy. You can imagine the emotions they went through for 9 months. I'm sure they begged God, Lord, we don't want to deal with this. God, would you give us a daughter? Lord, would you give us a daughter? God, would you give us a daughter? But when the baby was born, they saw it was a male. The Bible says she saw that he was a goodly child, and she did what any mother would do. She hid him 3 months. Verse 3, and when she could no longer hide him, she took from an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, and she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Verse 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him up out of the water. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll unpack this story here this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for Mother's Day. Lord, I'm thankful we have a day set aside to honor these women. Father, I'm thankful for a godly mother. Lord, what a blessing she was to me. And Father, I rejoice today knowing that she's in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, I'm thankful for her life, and I'm thankful for these mothers before me. God, it's a thankless position most of the time. But Father, I thank you so much for the selflessness of these mothers. Lord, I'm thankful for the hours invested, thousands upon thousands of hours invested into their children, the love, the prayers, the teaching, the training, the correction, the discipline, the investment, the praise that's bestowed upon their children. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for the heart that you've placed in mothers to be so nurturing, so loving, so sweet. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our church family with godly mothers. Lord, I pray you put a hedge of protection around the homes of our mothers here. Lord, you bless this generation that we have before us. I pray, God, these things, your sons, they bless the message. Now, Father, I pray you speak through me, speak through your word. I know you will, and I love you, God. Thank you so much for allowing me to preach this morning. In your name I pray. All God's people said, amen. Jochebed means this, the glory of Jehovah. I kind of noticed that Jochebed was a godly woman. She had a relationship with the Lord. She knew God. I thought about if I were to describe what is a godly mother, it's simple. I believe a godly mother is, number one, they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. They have more than just a religion, but a walk with God. They manifest the life of Christ in front of their children. They demonstrate forgiveness. That's one of the greatest things I learned as a parent, is to say, I'm sorry. And show grace to my children. Show that, hey, a daddy can make mistakes too. My wife is, I don't want to spend the whole message on her, but I appreciate her example as a godly mother. It's a privilege to be a mother, but it's not always easy. Can I get an amen from the ladies here? Amen. It's not always easy. Every mother has come to points of exasperation. I looked up exasperation in the dictionary, and I found some synonyms as well. And it says infuriate, incense, anger, irritate, madden, vex, provoked, get on your nerves. Can I get an amen? And sometimes not even the children, it's the husbands who come back at 10 o'clock at night after playing a men's basketball league game, and there's 3 screaming babies waiting for him. Sounds a little personal, huh? It's my life right there. And there was no text message to let him know I was going to be out that late. So that's where I'm learning as a husband here. Jochebed was a godly mother, but that doesn't mean she was exempt from trials, tribulations. Her problem wasn't her child or her husband, for that matter, but the government she lived under. The king of Egypt passed a horrible law. Remember verse 22 of chapter 1, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Consider her dilemma. She lived in a hostile environment. Jochebed's life was no bed of roses. Number one, she was a slave. She didn't have a future that she could achieve and strive on her own. There was no school for her to go to. She was born as a slave, and she lived as a slave under hard rigor, the Bible talks about. But I like about Jochebed, the Bible doesn't record much about her, but I don't believe she had the victim mentality. She didn't succumb to the hopelessness of her life as a slave in Egypt. But the law was very clear. The midwives were to take this newborn baby when it was born and cast it into the crocodile-infested Nile River. Feed it to the crocodiles. To disobey this order meant her life and her husband's life and her family's life was in jeopardy. So what did Jochebed do? What did Jochebed do? She was supposed to sacrifice the baby. She was supposed to allow the midwives to take that baby on the birthday, cast it into the river. But she didn't obey that rule. She didn't obey that rule. She did everything she could to love, protect that baby. And once she did everything she could, this is really the message here, she turned the situation over to God. I was talking about how it was hard for me to come up with a message for everyone that I believe God would apply to. But I believe this thought here, where we strive to do everything we can, but there comes a point where we realize it's outside of our control. In those moments, parents, we have to be willing to turn that child over to God. You can only do what man can do. Sometimes you have to allow God to do what only God can do. There's going to become points in your life as a parent, and I'm starting to see that in my life, where God has to intervene. Parenting requires supernatural intervention, and it takes a supernatural God to intervene in my life as a father, my wife's lives, and for you parents here today. Once she did everything she could, she put her baby into God's hand. Consider her courage. She refused to obey. She refused to consider her own life, her own safety, her own comfort. Why did she do that? Simple answer, she was a mother. That's what mothers do. That's what Jochebed did. That's what you do, women here who are mothers. There's no question when it's the life of your child on the line, the decision's easy for you. There's no way you're going to allow someone to harm your baby. I was driving last night. It's built in the nature. I was pulling out of Walmart, and if you notice, there's chickens all over the place. And when I pulled out, I saw a mother hen with about 8 chicklets around her, and I was driving up with my headlights. She stopped. And she didn't run off into the bushes. She stayed with those chicks until, you know, I came to a stop. Otherwise, she was going to get hit for those chicks. And then she crossed over. Hey, guess what, mothers? I see the same in my wife and in my even as a father. But Jochebed here displays that motherly instinct. She doesn't care what personal loss she's going to face. I'm going to care for my baby. I'm going to do what's best for my baby. So she hid Moses for 3 months until she can hide him no longer. And when she couldn't hide him any longer after 3 months, maybe he was crying, maybe he was big, and people were starting to notice some things going on in that house. He's stomping around. Not stomping around. He's maybe, I have almost a 3-month-old, 2-month-old. My baby's not stomping around. Barely moved his neck here. But maybe they heard the cries at night. You know, what's going on here? When she could do all that she could do, she gave that baby over to God. Jochebed turned, I'm going to do everything I can for this baby. I'm going to love this baby. I'm going to pour myself into this baby. I'm going to nurse this baby. I'm going to pray for this baby. I'm going to protect this baby. But the day is coming, I know it's coming, when I'm not going to be able to protect this baby any longer. God, you got to do what I can't do. That singular decision she made saved a nation. That baby, Moses, the lawgiver, the Exodus leader, the mighty man Moses, who God entrusted to call him up to a mountain and give him the Ten Commandments, saw him to lead over his people, millions of Hebrews. A singular decision by a mother of faith. Now, mothers, today, the message is also this. Jochebed did everything she could do. I'm not saying the message is, hey, let's be permissive parents, passive parenting. That's not the message. Jochebed, if she was to be in 2017 here today, she would guard her children's friendships. Hey, she would allow all types of media in her house. Hey, she would protect her children's influences. She wouldn't let them on the internet past midnight and texting friends in their bedroom there. Hey, she would protect her children. Hey, she would make sure she knew the influences around her child's life. Hey, what I'm trying to preach this morning, parents, is not to, I'm preaching to myself and my wife as well. We have to do all that we can do. And then as well, there's coming a point in my parenting, and my wisdom is limited. I know my shortcomings. There's coming a point where I have to say, God, you can only do what you can do. God, I can only do what I can do. I need you to intervene in my child's life. Parents, don't miss the message here. Hey, you better guard the influences. Hey, we don't want the public school to raise your children. Hey, we don't want the next door neighbor to raise your children. We don't want the internet to raise your children. Parents, God has, before the foundation of the world began, He uniquely chose you to be the mother of your child. He chose you for a reason. It's no accident. God supernaturally chose my mother to be my mom. Doesn't matter your education. Doesn't matter the pay scale you receive. God has supernaturally chosen you. Own that role. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't shirk that responsibility. Realize God has called you to be a mother. Take pride in that. Know that God has chosen you, and if He's chosen you, guess what? He's also equipped you for that task. And you may say, Brother, I'm not the most educated. I don't know. Ben Carson, look up his story. His mom didn't even finish elementary school. She didn't know how to read, but she told her kids, you're going to read. Amen? My mom didn't know algebra, but she made sure I did my homework. Hey, she didn't know everything going on in my life, but she was involved. She knew when I was shirking her answers. How you doing today, son? I'm good. No, son. How you doing? I'm good. No, that's not what I asked. How are you doing? And she had her shortcomings too. Ask my wife. She'll tell you all about what my wife did not teach me. We first got married. I went in the kitchen. First year we were married. I said, honey, can you make me a bowl of cereal? And she said, you're kidding, right? I'm like, go make me a bowl of cereal. My mama always made my cereal. She's like, you're joking. This marriage is not going to work. I'm like... Parents, you and I must do the same as a Jochebed. All that we can do. All that we can do. Hey, you have these children for a short time in your life. All that you can do. All that you can do. I want you to number next here, number three. We consider her dilemma, considered her courage, her selflessness, her lack of concern for her own life. Thirdly here, I want you to consider her sacrifice. When she could no longer, verse 3, do you see that? In Exodus. Stay with me here. Exodus chapter 2, look at verse 3. A wind, she could no longer hide him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes, dabbed it with slime and with pitch. She kind of made it waterproof and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. When she realized she couldn't hide baby Moses from the taskmasters of Egypt who were probably roaming around her house, she made the difficult, can't even comprehend that decision. But she took that baby of 3 months. My boy is only 2 months old. I thought about him this morning. She took that precious, plump, little baby. She placed that treasure of hers into an ark by the river. She did all she could. God, I'm gonna make this thing waterproof. Probably speaking to God, tears flowing from her eyes. She takes that baby. She puts it in the Nile River. Beyond her sight, she sees there's crocodiles in there, all kinds of craziness going on. There's boats coming through the Nile River from harbor merchants. And here she is at the bank of the river there, putting that baby boy in there. I don't know about you, my wife, when the baby cries, she can't let it cry. She has to pick it up. Me, I could be watching ESPN. Oh, by the way, the Spurs and Warriors are playing at 9:30 in Hawaii, so. But you know what, my wife, she can't even let the baby cry. And here she is, putting that baby. And I want you to remember this. She does not know whether she's ever going to see her boy alive again. She doesn't know if she's ever going to be able to embrace that baby again. And here she is saying, God, I've done all I can do. I can't hide this baby anymore. Hey, God, I've done all I can. I love this child. I pray for this. You've heard my prayer. God, I'm giving this baby to you. She put that baby in the ark. With tears streaming down her face, she gently pushed the baby from the edge. She says, no, this is goodbye. I'm sure, parents, you've not been in the same situation as a Jochebed, but you face the same fears as a Jochebed, and it may be a different way, different ways. She came to the point where she's done all that she could do for her son. I say this to our parents with teenagers. Hey, they are on the cusp of adulthood. They can envision their life as adults now. Sometimes that rebellion creeps up during that phase. I deal with it all the time. Because they can envision their life apart from mom and dad. And so that gives they feel like they can manifest now those hidden things in their heart. That you when they're 10, 11, 12, you could coerce them, you could manipulate them, you could modify their behavior, but now they're strong as you. Sometimes they're as smart as you. You can't outwit them. And they manifest that rebellion that's been in them. And no longer, they may see that relationship at home as just for convenience. Hey, I like this situation I have. I get free food. My bills are paid. But as soon as they can envision themselves on their own, they give way to that rebellion. Parents, my heart breaks for parents who deal with prodigal children. My heart breaks for parents who deal with rebelliousness. It makes me want to vomit when I see it. Because I don't think they realize what they have. Sometimes when teenagers, they get to that age and they think they know what's best for them. It blows me away. Show no love and respect for their mom and dad. It's a shame, it really is. Their parents, I think about what I've done for Violet and Judah in only 4 or 5 years. I've changed their diapers, I care for them, I know their quirks. I know the things that set them off. And then they're going to get to an age where they're a teenager and they think I don't know anything about them. I don't know what's best for them. They think I don't care about them. That's foolishness. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And teenagers, you're here listening this morning. You better correct that right now. You better get that right with God. And I'm saying not just with your parents, with the Almighty God. Hey, there's a time and place where you need to come to the altar and you need to repent of that rebelliousness against your mom and dad. You need to get that heart right. It's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother that your life may be long upon the earth. Hey, by the way, my mom passed away, teenager, and I'm glad I got to go to her funeral. My heart was breaking because I lost fellowship, but my heart was not breaking because I ever raised my hand at my mother. My heart was not breaking. I was not weeping because I didn't have a right relationship with mom and dad. My heart was not breaking because I never said I love you, or the last thing I said to my mom was something vile. My heart broke because I don't have to fellowship with my mom on earth anymore. That's when my heart was breaking. But I'm glad I got to enjoy that honoring service, that memorial for my mom with a clean heart. There's nothing between me and my mom. Teenagers, is there something between you and your mom? You need to get it right today. Don't wait. Jochebed couldn't raise him up in Goshen. She'd eventually be spotted. This child would be killed. She'd be ripped away from her. So with a broken heart, she did everything she could, but then she brought this baby to the brink of the Nile. I want you to consider her faith. Number 4, consider her faith. She had faith in God's protection for her baby. She didn't know the end of the story, but she had faith in Almighty God. Only because she trusted the Lord could she abandon her baby. She believed God would take care of her child. How do you know that? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. You guys are paying attention, listening well. Hebrews 11, 23. While they're turning to teenagers, I got to hit on teenagers all the time. Teenagers, obey your mom and dad. I can't say that enough. Honor your mom and dad. Love them while you have them in your home. Don't grieve your mom's heart. Don't make your mama cry. Because guarantee that's what's going to happen. I remember seeing my mom cry over my brother. I was the angel in the family. And it made me mad at my brother, and he got right because of that. That's amazing. Isn't it amazing? Men here, be the manliest man, but you see your mama cry, does it for you, doesn't it? It's enough.
Consider her faith.
Hebrews 11, 23. Verse 23 there, it says this. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why is that? Well, let me tell you. They feared God more than they feared the king. They feared God more than they feared the king. Hey, option one, murder my baby. Option two, disobey the king. I'm taking option two. They trusted God above all else. God was able to work in this situation of Jochebed's life. Why? Because she had faith in action. While babies are being murdered all around her, and she's hearing the horrors of the next door neighbor and the other families in Goshen, she calls out to God to do the impossible. Let me remind you, she didn't know the end of the story. She probably called out, God, I don't know why you're allowing this to happen. God, why is this going on? I don't understand your plan. Why did you allow me to conceive and have a baby if you knew it was just going to get murdered? God, what is going on? She said, God, here is my son. I trust you with him. I'm going to let go and let God, if you will. Sometimes, by the way, parents, letting go is not just the only thing you can do, but is the best thing you can do. It's not the only thing. Sometimes it's the best thing. I have loved this child. I've wept over this child. I've prayed for this child. I have taught him. I realize I've done everything I can do to raise this child for God. Now I need to turn him over to God. It's a scary thought. Teenagers coming up. Scary thought. You're on your own. My mom, she was sad when I left home. I cleaved to my wife. We became one flesh, the Bible says. Leave father and mother. Start my own family. She had to have faith in God. God, I give him to you. I've done all I can. God, give him to you. Lord, would you do what I cannot do? By the way, the greatest thing, parents, you can ever do for your child is pray for them. It is. You say, what about providing for my children? Yeah, it's good. What about clothing? Yeah, it's good. What about feeding my children? Yeah, it's good. What about teaching them? Yeah, it's good. But let me tell you, parents, the greatest thing you can ever do for your children is pray for them. How's your prayer life on behalf of your children? I'm reminded of a Job, and it's not Father's Day, but bear with me. Job got up every morning, gave a sacrifice to God, and said, it might be, he didn't even know, it might be that my children have charged God foolishly, has said something foolishly against God. Here's a sacrifice. He's trying to appease God on behalf. He's interceding on his children's life daily. And he asked God for a hedge of protection. And God blessed Job with that hedge of protection around his 10 children. It's not by accident God did that. He saw the faith of a man who said, God, I need your supernatural intervention in my family's life. Hey, the greatest thing you can ever do is pray for your children. I like this quote. It says, it's better to talk to God about men than to talk to men about God. It's better to talk to God about men than it is to talk to men about God. And I love talking to people about God. When I go to the bank, I like to talk about God. When I go out on my errands, I like to talk about God. When I pick up renters at the airport, I like to talk about God. When I meet people on the street, I like to interject my faith as often as I can. But it's better to talk to God about them than for me to talk to them about God. Let me rephrase this for parents. It's better to talk to God about your children than it is to tell your children about God. Isn't that a good thought? It's more powerful for you to talk to God about your child than it is to talk to your child about God. Now I'm heavy on the talk to my child about God. I need to be more heavy on talking to God about my child. Are you with me? Abraham Lincoln, remember, he said this. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have clung to me my whole life. Hey, it ought to be, parents, mothers, your son, your daughter comes, and they find you praying. Find you praying. I've heard testimony after testimony where people wake up in the middle of the night, and they see their moms laying at the foot of their bed, praying, praying. I don't know about you, but something's going on in my child's life. I'm praying for them. That's the first thing I go to. One of my guys I play basketball with in the league, his daughter's on Queens Hospital, or Kapiolani Hospital. They can't figure out what's wrong with her, and she's on life support. And an interesting thing is, you know, we would talk about God, and he wasn't really involved in church too much. But he texted me, he messaged me the other night, "Oh, I need your prayers." He's like, "I've repented of all my sins. I've called on Jesus to forgive me. I'm asking you to pray for me. Would you let your church know to pray for me?" I thought, wow. You know what? The catalyst for that, his child needs him. He's praying for his daughter. Parenting requires supernatural intervention. I like reading books, but let me tell you, parents, you can read all the books you want. You can read everything. You can read the latest blogs. You can read everything, but it's never going to replace what prayer can do. We must exalt and lift our needs to the Lord. The more I parent, the more I realize I don't know what I'm doing. I get advice all over the place. Man, I'm messing up. And then I read something like, well, I've been blowing it. Man, God, oh, man. I remember a spanking here, and I'm not, Violet touches the remote, turns off the game. That's a spanking. All right? And then I realized I read, oh, it's supposed to be, you're not supposed to spank out of anger. Oh, been doing that wrong. Oh, man, been doing this wrong. Getting myself all figured out, man. But I'm realizing, God, I don't know how to train my child to love you. I can only display it. I can show her my love for people in the church. I can show her my love for the lost. I can take her on the bus route. I can take her to homes where sin has impacted those homes. And we've been in drug-infested homes on the bus route. We've been on some other locations that are not good. I want my daughter to see those things, because I want her to be aware of what sin does to her. I want to show her the blessings of God's word too. Hey, when you do obey your parents, when you do live righteously, when you do live godly, hey, there is, the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. But hey, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want her to see those things. But that's not going to give her the heart for God. I can modify her behavior, and we do. We discipline. I can modify that behavior for a time, but only God can modify the heart for a lifetime. Let me repeat that. I can modify my child's behavior for a time, but only God can modify her heart for a lifetime. Parents, we need to remember that. God will not and cannot work in my home and in your home unless we are willing to put our faith in action. We have to love and trust Him. We have to teach, train, correct. We're not passive or permissive parents. We pray and we trust God, but then we turn it over to Him. Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Lastly, here we're done. Consider her reward. Go back to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Guys are listening well. Continue with me here. We're almost done. Exodus chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. When you're there, can I hear an amen? Amen? And when she had opened it, this is looking at the baby Moses now, the princess, Pharaoh's daughter. She saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. So Jochebed gets called. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed him. Amazing! Isn't that supernatural intervention? Can I get a hallelujah? I like that. We need to do that more often in our church here. I like that. Praise God. Unbelievable. She gives up not knowing whether she's ever see her child alive, and she gets a knock at the door. "Hello, I work for the princess's services. Are you Jochebed?" "Yes." "Come with me. We have your baby, and we need to pay you to nurse him." "What? Whoa. So I was doing this job for free before, and now I get paid to do that? Celeste, wouldn't you like to get paid to nurse our babies?" Here you go, honey. Take care of those babies for me, all right?" Amazing. She gets paid to nurse her own child. And I looked up how long this would be in the customs of that time. Is it just until he's weaned after a one day? Or they would nurse him a long time. And they said that Moses, some of the historians believe that Moses got to be with Jochebed for the early years of his life, almost 5 years old when he's ready to be educated. Amen? She gave what she could not keep, and God said, "I'm going to bless you and reward you for that." It's no accident with God. Mom, I want you to always know that trust God is at work in your child's life. You need to trust that. God is working. He always rewards an obedient faith. I don't want to say it like this. I'm not sure where your child's at this morning, but just know this, parent. If you're walking with God, you love God, you trust God, and you're calling on God, He is right now working in the shadows, in the ways you don't see in your child's heart and life. Just like this gentleman I was talking to at Costco doesn't know his mom in the South. There's a man who's looking out for her son, trying to encourage him to love God. God is at work. Trust that. God was working this thing out for Jochebed. You provide, you train, you pray, you love, you guide, you discipline, you protect that environment. You do everything you can, and you place that child in God's hand, knowing this, that God is going to work. For the next 4 or 5 years, Jochebed got to raise her boy. And Moses, by the way, never got away from the influence of Jochebed, his mother. He remained a mama's boy. Even at age 40, he was still a mama's boy. Now, let me tell you, he was a manly mama's boy. How do you know he was a manly mama's boy? Well, he came up and saw some boy treating his brethren wrong, and he came up and killed this dude. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I could kill a guy, all right? I don't know. That's some pretty gnarly stuff right there, okay? He buried him in the sand, all right? You want to mess with Moses, okay? All right? So dispel this, you know, wimpy mama's boy mentality you have of Moses, all right? He was a man's man, but he was a mama's boy. And you say, how do you know that? Well, let's turn to Hebrews 11. Go back. Sorry, I make a guess. Flip, but it's good. Hebrews 11. I want you to see what the Bible says about him. Hebrews 11, 24. He never got away from Jochebed's influence. Hebrews 11, 24. You guys are listening awesome this morning. Let's bring it home here. 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, here he is 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hey, you're the son of Pharaoh's daughter. No, sir, I am not. I am the son of that slave woman in Goshen. But you're wearing the Egyptian clothing. You live in the palace. You've been trained in the academics and the best academics of the world in Egypt. You speak the Egyptian language. You are the Pharaoh's daughter's son. No, sir, I am not. I am Jochebed's boy. I'm Jochebed's boy. Moses said, I don't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's. I don't want to be called the son of the princess. I want to be known as Jochebed's boy. Hebrews 11, 24 goes on to say here, verse 26. Hebrews 11, 26. Why did he choose this? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27. Love this verse right here. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, where do you think he learned that from? Where do you think he learned that from? By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Well, let me take you back 40 years ago when he was born. And that baby was born, and she knows a man. And she said, I have a choice. I'm either going to fear God or fear man. I forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. I saved you alive, Moses. Now it comes back full circle. He has a choice before him. I can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or I can choose to suffer affliction with my people. I'm going to do what Jochebed taught me to do. Her example lives on. I'm going to follow the example of my godly mother. Her influence lives on in my life. I'm not Pharaoh's daughter's son. 5,000 years later, we're still praising God that Jochebed did all she could and then turned him over to the Lord. You know what sums up Jochebed's life? I want you guys to think about this verse. This is the great picture of the famous verse in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. 3, 5, and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Mom, this is the end of the message here, conclusion here. You will never influence your children. Never influence your children for God unless you know God. Unless you know God. Once you know the Lord, he is your Savior, he's your Master, and you display that Christ-likeness before your children, then and only then can you influence your children. Hey, if you want your children to raise them for God, you must know God. Can I get an amen? You can't take them somewhere you have never been. And you can't introduce them to someone you've never met. Parent, do you know God? Do you display Christ-likeness in your home? Besides that, the message is this, parent. Jochebed had not much to offer Moses, except a godly example. You may say, Pastor Onward, I don't know what I can leave my children. I don't know if I can give my children inheritance, my grandchildren. Let's go back to what Abraham Lincoln said. No man is poor that has had a godly mother. No man is poor. I had a godly mother, and though she left me no inheritance, in fact, I had the pleasure of sending Chase and Capital One notices of her death certificate, canceling out all her debts. And I was like, man, well, she should have racked it up more. That's bad, right? Shouldn't say that. But by the way, this is a good tip, all right? So we found this out because we're like, should we let them know about us? And the guy at the mortuary was like, do not send them any information. Because truly the law says they're not supposed to go after the children for the parents' debt. So it was interesting. She had no property. Mama had nothing. She didn't own a vehicle. Had nothing. She had three dresses and books. I went home, grabbed, and you know what she had most of? She had bins of my stuff, my trophies from my basketball time, and things that she had of me, my keepsakes. So that's what I took home with me from California when we had her funeral in February. I have nothing left from my mom, but I have the memories of a godly mother. That's what I have. And I have some cards. She wrote my daughter a beautiful card about how she loves her, how she loved me, and how she approved and so grateful that God sent Celeste into my life. My wife has that. Isn't that great to have an affirmation from your mother-in-law for your wife? That's a beautiful thing, and my wife loves that. I had a godly mother. I feel like the richest man in the world. Mothers, do all that you can, but please remember, you must turn them over to God. Let go and let God. It's a supernatural task, and it requires supernatural intervention. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, so thankful for this Mother's Day, Lord. I pray that the message would hit home today. Lord, I don't know if there's parents who are weeping this morning over a prodigal child. A child who's not doing what they ought to do. But Lord, would they just turn that child over to you? Lord, that's a burden they're not meant to carry. God, would you help them realize that? God, you're in control of that situation. Lord, let them know that they can only control their own actions. Every person has free will. They have a choice. And may these godly people in our church who maybe suffer from that, Lord, would they realize they can just turn that over to you? May they be a Jochebed. Lord, it says, God, here it is. I've done all I can do. God, would you take my boy? Would you take my daughter? Would you do only what you can do in this child's life? Father, I ask for these parents who are with young children. Lord, may they do all they can do. Lord, help us not to be passive and permissive parents. But Lord, help us to train and correct and discipline. Lord, help us to show them the love of Christ and display Christ-likeness in our homes. Lord, would you encourage the mothers who maybe feel like they can't live up to the job, can't do the task. Lord, help them to realize that God has uniquely chosen them. And that God, you've called them and you will equip them to do the task. And that they are everything and all things that their children will ever need. And that God, you will supply the missing gaps. You will help out in the gaps that aren't there. Because Father, none of us are perfect and we realize that. So Father, I pray that you would fill in the gaps where we fail, where we come up short. God, would you work in our lives? Would you work in our church's lives? Would you work in our family's lives? Father, this morning as we bow for prayer, I must ask, Lord, I said to these parents, you can't introduce them to God if you don't know God. Lord, is there a parent here, a person here this morning, God, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I'm going to ask a question to the crowd here this morning, and I want you to answer honestly. No one's looking around, but I want you to raise your hand if this is true in your life. I want you to raise your hand. No one's going to look up. I'll see it. But if you were to die today, person in this auditorium, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that your sins would be forgiven? Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? If you were to die today, do you know that you've been forgiven? Is Christ, is he the Lord on your heart? Is he the Lord of your life? Do you know him? If you say, Pastor Anwar, if I was to answer that question honestly, I don't know my eternal home. I don't know if Jesus is my Savior. If that's you this morning, would you answer honestly? Would you raise your hand? You say, Pastor Onward, I don't know if I'm saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? Secondly, If God spoke to your heart in the message this morning, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've done all that I can do. Maybe my children are grown. Maybe I have children in the home. I'm doing all that I can. Would you ask God to help me turn things over to Him? Would you help me to release some of the pain I've been carrying, the burdens I've been carrying? Help me to be a Jochebed, Lord. Would you, Pastor, would you pray for me? If God spoke to you this morning, would you raise your hand? You say, Brother, I want you to pray for me. Many hands all over the auditorium raising up. Many hands all over the auditorium. God, I need to release that. Hey, you're never meant to carry that burden. You're not meant to carry that burden. He's the burden bearer. His yoke is easy. Remember that. His burden is light. He knows. Parent, this morning you may be weeping over a child. I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to pray for your children. Heavenly Father, you saw those hands that were raised in faith. God, I pray two things, Lord. Would you heal that heart that raised their hand? Would you bind up? Lord, let them know that they're not a failure, that they haven't failed. But God, you chose them for a reason. And they did the best they could, Lord. Would you help them to realize they can turn that hurt over to you? God, would they relinquish that pain and that burden this morning? Would they walk away with lighted shoulders this morning, knowing that God, you're aware of all things and you're the sovereign Lord of the universe, not us. And Father, you chose us to be the parent. So Father, I pray that they would release that pain that they've been holding on to. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in that child's life. God, I don't know what your plan is for them, but you do. It's not all Moses is like this. Sometimes, Lord, we don't know the end result. But God, I pray that these parents would not carry around that burden. Father, I pray that you would release that this morning. And then secondly, Lord, I pray for the children of our church, the teenagers, the young people. God, would you give them a tender heart towards their mom? Would you give them a loving heart that they would obey you, that they would obey their mom, that they would love their mom, that they would have respect? Lord, that they would live a blessed life because they're honoring their mom, that their life may be long upon the earth. God, would you answer that prayer this morning in our families, lives of our church? Would you restore these families, or would you bless these homes that we have? God, I ask this in your powerful name. Lord, the name of Jesus Christ, would you bind up the home? Would you strengthen the home? Would you help us, Lord, to have the hedge of protection that we so desperately need? We are desperate for your intervention, God, and we ask for it this morning. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You listen well. Thank you. I'll probably call Pastor Gross or...